comes from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable, about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my accuser. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she does not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The Gospel of our Lord. I invite the children who would like to go out to the creche station, and the rest of you may be seated. So the question that I'm posing to you all today is, what is prayer? And I'll give you a gentle reminder that I used to teach. I have not been healed from that. And so when I ask a question, I can wait for answers. What is prayer? Conversation with God. Thankfulness. Listening to what God might have to say. Okay, next question. Why do you pray? For help? Therapeutic? Celebration? Forgiveness? God asks us to? Joy? Is that what you said? Connection to God. Excellent. After reflecting on our text today, I was drawn to this poem. Those of you that were on the women's retreat are familiar with this book. You've seen this once or twice. The poem written is by Arthur Waskow, and it's called God Wrestling. I wrestled again with my brother last week. First time since I was 12, and Grandma stopped us. She won't even let us fight, we yelled, embracing. But she said talking was nicer. Wrestling feels a lot like making love. Why did Jacob wrestle with God? Why did the others talk? God surely enjoyed this all-night fling with Jacob and told him he had won. He renamed him and us the God Wrestler. He even left a limp to be sure he'd remember it. But ever since we've talked, did something peculiar happen that night? Did somebody say the next day we shouldn't wrestle? Who? We should wrestle again with our comrades sometime soon. Wrestling feels a lot like making love. But Esau struggled to his feet from his own wrestle and gasped across the river to his brother. It also feels a lot like making war. These two texts invite us to look more deeply into this gospel text. Pray continuously, do not lose heart. Now, it's more than a nice sign to put up on the screen or put up on our walls. And it's more than a reminder that just gives you these all warm feelings and just merely words of encouragement. Today's text reminds us of something. It reminds us that the lives of the disciples and those that were touched by Jesus are full of struggle and even despair.
that a life of discipleship isn't about blessedness and all the warm fuzzies. It's not a get out of suffering free card. Anybody want one of those? It's not a get out of suffering free card. But a life of discipleship is one of work, vulnerability, and persistence. It invites us as disciples into action and responsibility. It's more than just a sacred time of silence, but it's a time of transformation, challenging our perceptions, challenging our expectations, and it is a time of action. In our gospel text, we hear the parable of the persistent widow, someone who has no status, is minimally heard voice in society, if she's heard at all. She's been forgotten by the society, or even worse, has been abused and taken advantage of. And she goes to this judge, a judge that doesn't believe in God and definitely doesn't have a care or respect for people. Luke makes sure we know that this judge isn't sympathetic or kind. This judge is unjust. And this widow goes once and is dismissed and not heard. She goes again, and what happens? She's dismissed and not heard. She goes again and again and again until the unjust judge hears her and gives her what she needs. Not out of his goodness, not out of justice, just to, for the love of the living Lord, leave me alone. So then Jesus says to his disciples after telling them this parable, do you hear what the judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for him? I assure you, God will. God will not drag his feet. Now, what good news! It's even better news if this gospel lesson stopped there. Except it doesn't. Jesus goes on to say, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? Those of you who were at Women, Wine, and Word on Tuesday night, that was our sticky spot, wasn't it? That was the spot that we came back and went, ew, we don't like this so much. What does this mean? So I came back to my office on Wednesday and did a little wrestling with God. What do you mean by this? And I found it helpful to go back into chapter 17 to see, where is this parable positioned in scriptures? And I uncovered some context that sheds some light on what is going on here. Chapter 17, Jesus and his disciples are entering into Jerusalem. The disciples and others are longing for, they have been waiting and waiting for the kingdom of God to come, and they're full of expectation and anticipation. Jesus had questions being pummeled at him, asking him, when is this kingdom of God going to come? So listen to Luke 17. Jesus, grilled by the Pharisees on when the kingdom of God would come, answered, the kingdom of God doesn't come by counting days on the calendar, nor when someone says, look, here's the kingdom of God. Or look, there it is. And why, Jesus asks? Because God's kingdom is already among you. Let me say that again. Because God's kingdom is already among you. And then he went on to say to his disciples, The days are coming when you are going to be desperately homesick for just a glimpse of one of the days with the Son of Man, and you won't see a thing. And they'll say to you, look over there, or look over here. Don't fall for this nonsense. The arrival of the Son of Man is not something you go out to see. The Son of Man just simply comes. So our gospel text today is a text about faith, about trust, about prayer and persistence for those who have been waiting. It may seem that while they know God is just, God might appear unresponsive, or not responding soon enough, or maybe not responding in the way that we think God should. Yet the disciples and you and I are invited into persistent prayer and relationship. Today's parable of the persistent widow lays out another clue to the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, with a sign that says, look, there it is. The kingdom of God is among you. It's here and active. So what if the kingdom of God is in the way? Can be found in the way the widow was persistent. What if that part, the part of being part of the kingdom of God, being persistent, is what the kingdom of God looks like? It looks like is a faith in praying and not persistently and not losing heart. So what does that look like today? What does the kingdom look like today? Well, I can tell you, I've had many conversations with you all, with young adults. I've heard opinions from college and questions from college students, including my daughter, teenagers, and others. And the most common question I get is this one. Where is God in the midst of the mess of this world today? Where is God? Resonate at all? Starting with things as insignificant and small as people being scammed. By the way, I will never, ever, ever send an email or a text needing help or money that you need to keep it a secret and I can't talk to you. Never, ever, ever. If you get that message, just automatically know it's not from me. And if you ever get a questionable message, look at the email address. If it doesn't say krista.strum@hosannalutheran.org, it's not from me. Do call the office and let us know so we can alert people again. But just know that. Okay, that's a little bug. But how about the school shootings? How about the growing needs of those experiencing food and our health care insecurity? The list goes on and on. You could add them. We could make a whole list. You get the idea. It's easy to wonder, where is the kingdom of God today? But I think the better question may be, or the more helpful question is, where and who are we looking to be our Savior? Where are we looking for God in this world? Are we looking to God to depend on one or a few human beings? Or are we looking for a God who's active in and among us? No King's Day was yesterday, and it was celebrated with thousands, millions of people. And both sides, in whatever political side you were on, responded in this way. The only king is Jesus. And to that, I say an enthusiastic amen. And, dear Christians, we are the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is active and present. And while we, like the widow, cry out, our cries may be in despair or disgust, maybe it's in fear, but may we also cry out with a persistent trust that God is at work. God is among us. And God is stirring in us to see and bear witness to the kingdom of God in the world today. The persistent widow isn't just a widow. It's not the story of the widow. It's the story of the persistent widow, the one who continued to act, to pray, to respond, to request. So, beloved people of God, may we continue to pray. May we not lose heart. May we be present and active in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that is present and active today. Amen.